Coming up next from Loading Ready Run, Kathleen DeVere. Now, this theater is situated in such a way that the speakers have to pass a physical challenge to come up on stage. So that's sweet. But we're doing it, guys. We're doing it live. Oh, that wasn't even the hard one.
There's many physical challenges. So I'm like Claire and some of the other people. Being Canadian, I'm going to Stuart McLean this shit, which means I have notes, and I'm going to read from notes. If you don't know who Stuart McLean is, this is original and all me, and don't worry about it. but as you may have noticed, I'm in the process of becoming two people. So we don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet, so the nickname for the small human inside me is Tiny Stark, and with Stark being the name of my husband. And it's not that suddenly becoming pregnant has caused me to become an enthusiastic supporter of patriarchy. It has this nickname because I am extremely concerned that this kid will end up like me. I am an unrepentant asshole and a gigantic motherfucker. And the kind of person who accidentally, but also very much on purpose, started a riot when I was in high school. So imagine, if you will, spring 1998. Teenage Kathleen has just discovered punk music and the Dead Kennedys. And while I had a very, very tenuous grasp of world history, well, wouldn't you want to take a holiday in Cambodia? It's like tropical and shit. I had a deep and passionate understanding that my rights as a Prince George secondary school student were being trampled. See, earlier that year, the school had decided, since it was actually legal for kids under 19 to smoke, it didn't make any sense for there to be a designated smoking area, complete with ashtrays, just behind the cafeteria of our high school. And to teenaged me, this decision wasn't logical. It was an unjust, horrible, world-destroying catastrophe, because the smoke pit, which was really just a strip of level ground with some concrete benches and ashtrays, and not a pit of any kind, was the center of bad kid social life. And it was where all the cutest boys hung out. And that meant boys with long hair and metal band t-shirts to teenage Kathleen. And it was where all the punk kids with dyed hair and thrift store clothes talked about all the amazing bands they just discovered, bands like the Ramones, because it was the 90s and we had limited means. and it was also where all the kids who weren't rich enough to be popular or sporty enough to be jocks or quiet and well-behaved enough to be nerds, that was me, hung out. But it's not like all these kids were just going to stop smoking because they told you you couldn't do it anymore. So the smoke pit moved off of school grounds. It was now in a grassy area across the street from the school. But you couldn't see it directly from any part of the school, and that meant when a teacher or a vice principal had to go and check on what the kids were doing, they had to go into this copse of pine trees that was like on a vacant lot beside the school and try to like peer out from it to spy on us. And it was really annoying and embarrassing for them. So this proposal was like quickly floated to just cut down the damn trees, because they were never supposed to be there permanently. And they were pretty sure the kids got up to no good in there. And they were very correct, because that copse of pine trees was called the Magic Forest. This is where all the kids at my high school did drugs. The stories of the Magic Forest were legendary. There's that time Jeremy's brother John took a homemade 5-foot-tall bong into the Magic Forest and smoked weed in there, like, all day. And the time that Trevor brought in his dad's butane torch so he and Simon could do hot knives. If you don't know what hot knives are, I suggest you Google it. So, like, I didn't even go in there because I didn't do drugs at this point, and I certainly wasn't going to do drugs at school. But exciting things happened in the Magic Forest, and so cutting it down wouldn't just be kind of crummy. It would take away a huge source of our entertainment. So, incensed, but well aware that we were being oppressed, I floated an idea with my friend Salem, real name Beth, that we should have a protest. Then the man would know that they couldn't cut down our forest without a fight. And after all, the school is the person or the organization that told us to move the smoke pit, so that's their problem, right? So we told all our friends and anybody else who would listen to us that we were going to have a protest on Friday at lunchtime. And Salem and I then, like, raided a cardboard recycling bin and spent hours making, like, ornate, colorful, homemade signs, assuming that carefully made protest signs would lend our event an air of legitimacy. For me, this was going to be my big moment. I was going to stand up against the fascist school organization. And I brought my portable stereo so we could listen to inspiring Rage Against the Machine tunes. And I even stayed up late on Thursday night making protest cookies to hand out. They were chocolate chip. So Friday rolls around, and at the beginning of the lunch hour, Salem and I pass out the signs and cookies. And in retrospect, it was probably a bit much to expect the assembled crowd of, like, skids and punks and metalheads and stoners to give a single shit about freedom or trees, because what those kids cared about was having even a semi-legitimate excuse not to go back to class after lunch. And since nobody there had ever been to a protest, we didn't actually know what to do. And so we tried to lead some experimental chants, but as more and more kids piled into the area, drawn by the promise of excitement and at least some free cookies, it became clear as a group, which had swelled from like 30 people that would normally be out there to like 100, had no fucking clue what to do. So at this point, this grade 12 kid stood up. And I don't know who he was, but he had a lot of confidence, which is something I did not have. He stood on a rock and yelled, "All right, listen up. If we want people to take us seriously, we need to take this to the school board. So let's go." And so we all just sort of moved out. And once we started moving, more students came and joined us. And not because they had suddenly developed any kind of passion for trees or protest movements, but because they sensed it was time to do mischief. We marched straight down the middle of the road to get to the school board and like this long meandering trail that disrupted traffic. A local news crew filmed us from an overpass. And then because the school board offices were only about a 20-minute walk away, they were really close to downtown. We got there pretty quickly. And it was also across the street from our rival high school, Dutchess Park. And Dutchess Park did not know they were our rival high school because they were an altogether like milder and artier and nicer high school filled with better kids. And if they'd staged a protest, they would have had proper chants, better signs, and an assortment of baked goods. But our high school was just kind of like a bunch of scrappy kids who did drugs, and we were not polite and civilized. But so we got to the school board, and we all started piling up there, and this excited teenage energy started to buzz through the air. "Oh my God, guys, we did it. We're protesting. They didn't do anything to us. We got here. We didn't get into trouble. They have to listen to us now. We're invincible. Let's fuck up Dutchess Park." Sorry, what was that last one? And looking back now, I'm like, I should have been horrified at this point, but I was just like super excited. And so the crowd as one sort of changes directions and then rams snake-like through the nearest Dutchess Park High School doors. And overwhelmed by the concept of absolute freedom, we began to run through the halls, yelling and screaming and smashing the glass and all the picture frames. And nobody knew where we're going, so we, like, started down the shop wing and then, like, went upstairs and, like, passed some art classrooms, and then we careened back downstairs, and then suddenly we burst through the gym, breaking up a class of eighth graders playing basketball. And I will remember this image forever. One kid, small and kind of gangly, was wearing glasses and a white T-shirt, and he stood there in open-mouthed awe as we streamed past, the basketball still held aloft in his hands. And I caught his eye and screamed, and I am not kidding, "Anarchy now!" He dropped the basketball. Suddenly, we're out the back doors of the gym and then gathering back in the school board parking lot, having miraculously somehow completed a loop through Dutchess Park, and our shouts and cries had become indistinct. Bongos had appeared somehow. And then some people started throwing rocks at the school district building, and then somebody else got on the roof, and then the police arrived. And then the head of the school board came out of the building. "What is going on here?" she screamed at us, looking for leaders in the anarchic vacuum. "Fuck you!" we yelled back. Somewhere in the front of the crowd, Salem reappeared and volunteered herself as student leader and went inside. Meanwhile, I was like, man, you could not pay me to take responsibility for this, and kind of like faded into the background as quickly as I could. Then a fuck the police chant began. And then some girl screamed inaccurately that they're using tear gas on us. At this point, chaos reigned. And some kids split off saying they're going to go wreck shit down at City Hall. And I realized I was standing next to some guy I kind of knew named Rob, and he was a year older than me, and he was tall and thin and cute and perpetually stoned, and one of the few people there who probably gave a single shit about trees. And 2 years later, we would get to second base at a party. But at this point, Rob says, do you want to head back to school? He says, very nonchalantly, as there's screams and bongos echoing in the background. And I'm like, yeah, right? So we just book it out of there. And we get back at about 2:30, going our separate ways and sliding into our respective classrooms. And at the time, the English teacher I had had been teaching for 35 years, and he was 1 month away from retirement. Have you been here the whole time? He asked, and I was like, yes. Okay. So according to the CBC News report that I proudly taped and showed to my dad when he got home from work, over 150 kids had spontaneously decided to riot, causing thousands of dollars in property damage. And Salem ended up on the news talking about respect and rights and, I don't know, crosswalks for some fucking reason. But I was never taught. I was never caught. I took no responsibility. And most importantly, I learned nothing. So anyhow, tiny Stark, not a tiny De Vere.
Thank you, Kathleen. That was great. Important takeaway from the story. Guys with long hair and metal band t-shirts are cool. I guess Jaws could be a metal band, maybe. Guys, the TSA agent and the Hearst rental car guy complimented me on this shirt, so I'm for sure going